real quickly. Welcome, everybody. This is Elaine. It's Thursday, June 8th, 2017. It's the 3 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday afternoon call. And we'll be talking this week about keeping it simple. And we were just doing check-ins, and Pam was just talking about celebrating her daughter reaching out to her when she was scared, maybe not knowing she was in danger, but in danger on the other side of the world. And so, Pam, finish what you were saying about the relationship, because I think that's really important and great way to start.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of confirmed to me, thinking about it afterwards, that if you have that relationship in place, which I now have with her, it's there when you need it. And, you know, if that hadn't have been in place and she needed help, you know, the situation may have ended very differently.
Right. Well, and what is so profound about that, so important about that, and I want to share this for those listening because, you know, she is 18 now and you have a pretty good relationship with her. When she was 16, 17, the relationship was not so strong, but prior to that, you had a really good relationship with her, right?
That's right. Yes.
And so we do go through these phases when things get really rough and when we're at tension points and trigger points in our dynamics and in our relationships. And you had a foundation to build on from her childhood that was really good. And when you saw things going sour, you did something to change it. And the reason you're able to celebrate this now, and I just want to acknowledge you for it, is because you put the work into building that relationship, rebuilding that relationship after it had really been taxed and challenged.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and just so you know, we've been joined by several more people. So we're doing check-ins. Vilma, I see that you're here. Somebody else is here. Who's here from Nassau?
Hi.
Say it again. You broke up. Who is it? Who's here from Nassau? Is that Sandy?
Can you hear me? It's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
I have to be on mute.
Now.
Okay. Yeah. I'm putting myself on mute.
No, that's fine. I just.
Yeah.
Totally fine. I just needed to know who was here. You may mute away, or I can mute you if you want.
Okay, now I'll mute. Thank you. Hopefully it'll work.
Uh-huh. Great. And then somebody else is here, and there's no number at all. I have no information. I just see someone here. Is there one more person on the call?
I'm here.
Okay. I bet that's you, Pam. Yep, I got Maya, Pam.
Yeah, I'm here.
Lisa and Vilma. Okay, got it. Sorry, I forget. Yours doesn't always show up, Pam. It shows up as blank. So I needed to remember that was you. Got it. Okay. And Vilma, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Good, thank you.
Can you hear me? Good. Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay, so we were doing check-ins. I can now. We were doing check-ins. We've heard from Pam, and I want to check in. Maya, you want to touch base or celebrate? And I know you've got a lot going on right now, too, so I know it's going to be a challenge for you, but I want to encourage you to start by looking for what's positive, what you can celebrate.
Okay. Yeah, I have something to celebrate. I've been having an ongoing discussion with my son about switching to a private school because support services are better for him there, and he wants to stay at his public school where his friends are. But last night we called somebody from the private school, a friend of his, and he spoke to him for a while, and he spoke to the parent, and I think he was really, for the first time, starting to kind of understand it and understand the support system and realize that it's actually a lot better than what he has at his school now.
I just got chills. And just, you know, everybody, we've been, Maya and I have been working together on this for a while. This is a really intense situation. She's keeping it light, but, you know, it has history of lawsuits and district paying for, I mean, it's a complex situation. And so that's a huge celebration. That's great news. So, yeah. And you get extra points for sticking with it, even when you wanted to throw your hands up.
Yeah, and today I want to take aim. I want to have the conversation again with him, or maybe I was going to ask if I should wait a day, kind of let everything sink in, of trying the private school for half a year. It's kind of like a compromise because it was going to first be a full year or nothing, and now we can try half a year and just say, like, you know, we've gone through the pros and cons. We've thought about it a lot. I know it's been really tough for you because we had all these deadlines and he had to decide, and just say, like, what do you think, or can you try this? Does that seem fair?
Well, let me stop you now, and we'll come back. So what I hear you saying is you want to take aim on continuing this conversation with him and sort of making an alternative suggestion.
Yeah, and how to phrase it.
Okay, got it. All right, we'll get to you. We'll come back to it. But great. Congratulations.
Okay.
That's great news.
Thanks.
Vilma, what about you? What do you want to celebrate?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
I am just pleased as punch to about the relationship I have with my daughter. She just declares how much she's grown and learned from me, and she's so appreciative that I take this coaching. I want to, you know, give you all the kudos on that. Yeah, she thinks that's great.
Well, I appreciate it, but you're the one that's done the work.
doing. And
yes, true.
So the basis, the foundation of whatever changes are ongoing is just really strong. So that's what I wanted to celebrate.
Yes. Awesome. So I love that. Both you and Pam are both celebrating the strength of your relationship with your daughter. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Lisa, you are on mute, and so I'm going to let you stay on mute, and if you want to come on and celebrate or take aim or anything, I'm going to let you be the determinant of when you join us, okay? And so we're going to move on, but if you want to come back at any point, I'm happy to come back and loop you in, okay? Vilma, do you want to go ahead and take aim while you're here, and then Pam will come to you?
Yeah. Well, my aim is to move steps ahead in a conversation that's so far been positive, trying to get her to get a job. And so she has to buy in, but she has
okay.
to do more than buy in to the notion. She has to buy into the doing of it.
Okay. So keep moving forward on the, on the process of helping her get a job.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
And Pam, what about you? I know Pam was dealing with that a few months ago, so she may have some thoughts.
Yeah. So a couple of things, really. I guess I want to, with my daughter coming home on Monday night, I want to obviously appreciate her and spending time and reconnecting when she's home, and appreciating, recognizing myself and the effort I've put into achieving this, because I often have been thinking that, you know, I basically did nothing other than avoid reacting to her. But I think I did more than that, realistically. But then the second, I guess, you know, she doesn't have this, she got into this situation the other night because, you know, she just doesn't have this appreciation of personal safety. And I want to have a conversation with her about that. I mean, it's not going to be as soon as she gets off the plane, right? But I want to have a conversation with her. I'm not quite sure how to go about it. I also want to have a conversation with her boyfriend, who I have a great relationship with, because I'm furious with him that he would let her leave the nightclub at that hour and go back on her own, but I don't know the facts of the matter. So, yeah, so that's
right.
What I've got in mind.
Right, and she's a she's a young adult, she's a choice, and at the end of the day, she's the one that decided to leave that club. But I hear you.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Good. All right. So let's move into the topic. And again, Lisa, I know you're there, and you're welcome to join us at any point. It's interesting. So what I'm noticing as I move into the topic is that all of you are taking AIM. So you all have kids that are sort of 15 to 20. And you are taking AIM on having a conversation. So each one of you in different ways is talking about a conversation you know you want to have, need to have already started or continuing. It's about not just about getting something done. It's about this consciousness that you're bringing to how do I communicate effectively about this, about whatever it is we're talking about. And I love that that theme is showing up because it's a really nice tie-in to our topic. The topic is about keeping it simple. And so as you can imagine, I don't have a lot I want to say about it because that would sort of defeat the purpose. But the notion is that we have this tendency to make things more complicated than they need to be. And when our kids are little, we make the systems too complicated, and we put reward charts in place that are too complicated, and we ask too many things of them at one time before they're ready, and that's too complicated. So we have this tendency to make things complicated. And we often do the same thing in terms of communication. We have a tendency to lecture, to try to convince, to over-explain. I was on the phone. Somebody was on the call yesterday, and she said, we were talking about this topic. She said, I can see when he shuts down, and I just keep talking, right? And we do that. We're like, it's sort of this human thing. I was having an encounter with my son this week. It was like, and I just looked at him, and I looked at myself, and I went, it's time for me to leave the room. You know, come back later. I need to stop now because I'm not getting through. And the truth is, whenever we notice that we're in convincing mode, we want to convince them to see our point of view, to appreciate us, to see it our way, to understand how important it is. When we're convincing, we're actually not communicating, and we're making things more complicated because we're putting them on the defensive, and we're actually moving further away from the agenda we want instead of towards it. Because all of you have children who are old enough now that, and you mentioned this yourself, Vilma, that their buy-in, their ownership of themselves and their self-management is absolutely essential to their long-term success. And it's going to happen at different degrees. It's going to be different for you, Maya, with a 15-year-old, than it will be for you, Vilma, with a young woman. But it's the same dynamic, right? It's not trying to convince them to buy in, but truly helping them, empowering them to come to a place where they choose to want to take care of themselves, to make choices for themselves, where they choose to want to be in relationship with you. And at the end of the day, you each hit it in different ways. It's really very simple. The simple piece of it is that it comes down to relationship. And if we step out of convincing and lecturing and into curiosity and understanding what's going on over there with them and staying in that place where our role is to engage them, to empower them to be at choice, it's really, in some ways, that's the simplicity, right? So keeping it simple is, yes, it's about systems. It's also about communication. It's about not trying to tackle 12 things at one time in one conversation, but, you know, making sure you're only tackling one thing or two at a time. So you know, Pam, you said she's coming home. You want to spend some time connecting and reestablishing the relationship and celebrating the relationship. And at some point, you'll have the conversation about safety. You'll probably have several conversations about safety, but you're not going to do it the moment she walks in the door first thing, right?
No.
So simplicity has to do with thinking it through. When does it happen? How does it happen? How do we keep it simple? How do we not overstate? So I'm going to stop overstating and open the conversation. Let's talk for a little bit about what you notice about this notion of keeping it simple, what comes up for you, what's challenging, what's hard about simplicity, and see where it goes from there. Who wants to respond or step in?
Well, I can. The simplest thing would be.
Okay, Vilma and then Maya.
Okay.
Vilma, I think I heard
you,
right?
I think I'm on some kind of a delay. Yes, you did.
Okay.
For me, my challenge is that the simplest thing for me to do would be to say, hey, you're almost 20 years old. You got to start earning your own pennies money, you know, your own pocket money. That's the simplest thing, but it doesn't do the job. So, okay, where is the simple start in on this?
I think she
already knows that, so there's no point saying it.
Well, does she want that?
Yeah, she does. But does she want it right now?
Okay.
Or does she want it when she runs out of her current savings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I hear that one. So does she know what's in it for her, what the value is to her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
She does. So, you know, but to do it, to actually, you know, go to this pet shop, which is where she's applied online, to actually go to the pet shop and talk to the manager and say, hey, I'm here. That's the very difficult step for her.
Right. So keeping it simple might not be going to the pet shops, but might be going to a pet shop on Saturday at 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just making it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be that there's an overwhelming feeling around the whole thing, and we chunk everything. We got to chunk something like that too. Is it feeling so daunting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what's standing in the way really that she doesn't feel the need to be bothered yet? Or is it that it's an overwhelming feeling to go do this and I have to go look for a job is a really daunting feeling. But what makes it simple is I have to go talk to this one man on Tuesday or this one woman on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's one way to keep it simple is to sort of break down things when we notice that things feel too big or too overwhelming is to find the simple next step. All right, you've all heard me say many times, you don't necessarily need to know everything that you're going to do. You just need to know what the next step is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Maya, what was coming up for you? What were you thinking?
Well, I guess figuring out what is the next step, and just trying to figure out how to have this conversation because he's like very touchy if he thinks I'm trying to convince him. And I realize that I do try and convince a lot, so that's something I need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Before you get into that, let's talk for a minute. Just notice what came up for you. Think about this notion of keeping it simple. And I want to encourage everybody to pull back from your topic for just a minute and just sort of look at the concept for yourselves. Like, is that something that's challenging for you? Is that easy for you? Like, what has, have you seen it help in the past? Have you not? Like, just look at it a little more conceptually before we get into the details.
I think it's definitely been challenging for me.
What's
because
challenging
about it? I try and put too much information out there, and I know that my son gets overwhelmed. Like you said, I could kind of see it in his face, or, you know, he'll start, like, singing or something, or walk away, and I just have to stop, you know, and then but I want to say what I want to say. I want to finish it, so that's hard.
Mm-hmm. And what's important to you about finishing it?
That he hear, you know, my point of view.
Did he hear it or agree with it?
I guess sometimes just hear it, and I guess a lot of the times agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that happens is we make it complicated because we want to do it all right now. Like, I've got his attention now. I'm afraid I won't get it again. I want to get this in.
Right.
Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah. And yet, if they're not in a place to hear it, it doesn't really matter if we're communicating it.
Right. So I have to make
sure. I mean, that's the real simple truth. Right.
Yeah, you
have
to catch,
make sure.
I guess, in a good mood, and they've had their, well, at least for my son, that he's had something to eat, you know, he's relaxed.
Yeah, so when is an important piece for you, for this, for how the
communication? I think I try and talk to him right after school, and he hasn't had his snack, and he's, like, all, you know, trying to decompress from school, so I just have to, you know, wait, and maybe... He has a lot of homework tonight, even though I just kind of want to figure this out really badly. I can wait, you know, till tomorrow, or if he's receptive tonight, but I should wait till he finishes his homework first, because he hasn't been getting any homework done.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got this big thing looming over him.
And he
right.
says he's stressed
but
out.
But what you're
so
speaking
I
to... He says what?
He says he's been, like, so stressed out thinking about this, so that's why I guess I keep thinking if we could just figure this out, you know, then he could, like, study for finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although my bet is it doesn't matter what, he's going to be stressed out by, there's just been such an intense dynamic around it. But the real question is, I mean, one of the things you're speaking to is, you know, when it's our agenda and when is it theirs, right? Sometimes we have this. I mean, what you're saying is it's about him, right? You're advocating for him. This is his issue. It's where he's going to school. And yet you need to get it done because it's making you crazy not to know, right? And I totally get that. I feel for you. And that's your issue, right? And so how often do we sort of impose our issue or our time frame on what's going on for them? Because this is what we're dealing with. And I think, I mean, what's coming up as this is evolving is I think this is a really common thing for a lot of us. Do other people relate to this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, our rhythm as adults is different from the kids. It's just difficult to get on the same rhythm.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, we also had...
Well, and the other thing that... Go ahead.
I was just going to say we had some, you know, deadlines where we had... Because there was, like, lawyers involved and a deadline set forth by the district, so... That was another reason why we kind of had to, you know, move through it quickly.
Right. Now, I mean, sometimes you do have to, but there is a pacing issue, and they do go at a different pace than we do. And you know, whether it's a decision or something else, often there's also this other piece of we've been thinking about something for a long time. You've done the pros and the cons and gone through everything, and you've thought it all the way through, and then we go to them and we ask them a question or we get curious, and they kind of look at us like, I don't know, because they haven't been thinking about it the way we've been thinking about it. They haven't been worried about it or obsessed about it or whatever. And we sort of, I think we have a tendency to forget that we have to give them the space then to process. Like you had this conversation last night. He had this conversation last night. I think it's really good for him to have a day or two to think about it, if possible, right? To let him process it, you know, throw a question at him for him to consider and then move on. Right. Don't require that he answer, but give him time to process and think it through. They will do better and respond better when they have a chance to think about things.
Right. And do you still think, you know, putting up like a pros and cons chart on the refrigerator or something is a good idea? Because I don't know. I mean, that kind of brings it.
We've already done the pros and cons, so I don't. I you've already done it, so I would definitely leave it out somewhere where it's visible. I wouldn't draw attention to it or say, I'm putting this on the refrigerator now. But could you leave it out there as a visual reminder, a visual cue for him to, yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Because he's thinking about it.
Yeah, and he is thinking about
yeah,
it. And
just,
he is. So that's good.
It is good. It's huge. It's a big change.
Yeah,
because
and he was
reacting.
He was reacting, and he was really happy that we had. So I actually had two short phone calls that I set up. One was with somebody who's at the existing school he's with, and asking about the case manager that would be at the existing school. And then I had one conversation with like another friend and a mom. They had them both at the private school. And, you know, what was their experience there? And I had them, like, within half an hour of each other, and I had them on speakerphone, and I said, is there any questions you want to ask? And it was really interesting. And then he spoke with the boy at the private school. And so I realized that he didn't listen to basically anything I said with the pros and cons chart, but he really listened to the other people, like the other parents and the other kid. He like started to really pay attention.
So that's a great awareness. What do you learn from that? And I can't imagine everybody else on the phone wouldn't say the same thing. Does everybody else have a very similar experience? You can tell them a million times, but when they hear it from someone else, all of a sudden they hear it for the first time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I know there's clearly a delay today, but I mean this is the universal parent experience, right?
Yeah.
And it's just magnified with our kids.
Yeah.
So what do we learn from that? What's and this is not just for you, Maya, but for anybody. Like what's the message there?
We talk too much.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh,
no, it's okay. We talked too much. I hear that. Pam, go ahead. What were we going to say?
I've come to realize that just because I don't get an acknowledgement that, yeah, I hear you, you know, I agree or whatever, or there seems to be resistance, doesn't mean she's not hearing. Because there are so many times that, you know, weeks or even months later, she'll kind of, something will come up in conversation that shows that she's been listening all along and processing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm kind of overplaying this thing, really. They do hear it. They do listen. And we look for, you know, because we spend so much time with other adults in environments where, you know, people respond and we look for the same response. We don't get it. We push. But that doesn't mean it's not there.
Mhm.
Mhm.
So true. So one piece is again, that's a pace thing, is that sometimes it's going to take them weeks or even months to get messages. And I know that I'm seeing it so much with my 22-year-old. She's almost 23. And there are things where it's like, wow, it was something I said or did or modeled or whatever 4 or 5 years ago, and she's now finally ready to start playing with it. So there's a pace thing here, mm-hmm. right, about letting them go at their pace and not assuming that they're not hearing. But what you're also saying, Pam, is that it's also giving her the space to come to it, to accept it or embrace it or choose
right.
it or...
Yeah. There's also the resistance, right? As adolescents, the more you push and look for acknowledgement that they've heard or engagement, the more this sort of automatic resistance that I'm not going to show you I'm listening, the more we trigger that. So learning to, you know, put the seed in and walk away and trust that it will have landed and I won't always know that it's landed. And that's even the case with my neurotypical daughter, right, who's 21 now. And, you know, this year, and she's mature for her age, this year there's been multiple things that she said. And I thought, oh, right, only now I'm starting to see this. And, you know, if you're a mature neurotypical 21-year-old, and then, you know, try not to be negative and think, oh, my God, does this mean that my younger daughter is going to be 25? Anyway, so it does get there. It is in their brain, and we just have to let go because keeping at it is likely to do damage. Not damage, it's just it's likely to remove the impact.
Right. And then there's this other piece that you were just speaking to, that sometimes, like Maya, you made arrangements for him to hear it from somebody else because he wasn't in a position of hearing it from you right now. And so sometimes it's about finding the allies and the other resources. You know, I have a best friend, and we've sort of raised each other's kids in many ways because my kids will go to her and her kids will come to me. And it's magic when you have somebody else that you can trust or rely on, whether it's, you know, big picture like that or incidental like the mom last night and the son last night. But when other people can reinforce a message you're trying to communicate, that's a really simple, powerful way.
Yeah, it was just really, he really liked that a lot, and he was listening. And, you know, I think he like finally heard it for the first time. And just that aha moment I could see in his, you know, he was thinking like, well, Mom, you know, you were really fair and you called both sides and you let me listen. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like so affectionate last night. I was kind of really surprised.
Well, it's a real acknowledgement, Maya, because you've been working really, really, really hard this week to try to stay not neutral, but to try to really present both sides and to bring him into the decision-making process instead of trying to convince him to follow your side. And they do, like this is just what Pam's saying, they see it, they recognize it. When you're engaging them and respecting them and bringing them into a process, they see. They are wise on one level. On another, maybe not. But
right.
So anything else, I want to see if we want to coach around any of these specific topics, but anything else that's coming up for anybody around just this notion of simplicity or keeping it simple? Or do we want to move into, you know, since everybody's sort of got a similar topic about an upcoming conversation?
I think that's a good
What's
idea.
What's coming up in terms of, to talk about conversations, yeah. So everybody's got an upcoming communication you're concerned with or thinking about. So what's the question here? I guess the question, because if I look at all these different topics, the unifying theme is is this notion of helping them become more thoughtful or conscious self-determiners, right? Advocates, decision makers, whatever it is, but helping them think about things in a way to make better decisions. Is that fair that for everybody one way or another, that's sort of what we're talking about?
Right, and if I may add, this is Velma. There seems to be such there's anxiety around making decisions that makes it really hard for her to want to make a decision. You know, it's like, oh my God, if I make a decision, then she'll think of all the 6,000 difficult things that might ensue from it.
Say a little bit more. So the decision, the anxiety around making the decision or about making it wrong?
Making a decision and the negative consequences it might have rather than the positive consequences it might have. Yeah, so for example,
so the fear of making a bad decision.
All right. Like say, for example,
is that what you're saying?
If I, not exactly. It's not that the decision is bad, but that she talks herself out of it, out of making a decision because it could have these negative consequences. Not that the decision's bad, but it could also have, like if she were to decide to go to the store, to pet shop on Saturday at 2 o'clock, what if the manager isn't there? Mm-hmm. You know, what if the manager is nasty? Mm-hmm. What if blah, 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 blah? That goes, makes the decisions for her really hard to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
so what's interesting is that she has, I mean, there's a little anxiety there, right, that you're speaking to. For sure. And so she has that sort of analytical thinking ahead, and she's so what's good about that is she's looking at the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So if she can look at the negative possibilities, and it may be that she's one of these people that's got to see, look at what's wrong, what might go wrong before she can look at what might go right.
Mm.
That may be part of her process.
Definitely.
I mean, some people who are, particularly people who are really analytical, they're going to see what's wrong first. They're going to look for the hole. And if you can help them get through that so that they can continue to analyze to see the positive, instead of trying to convince them not to be negative, you can actually help them go through the full cycle of decision making. Because she's right. What if? But also, what if the manager turns out to be really wonderful? And what if she is there? And what if she's wonderful? And what if she's, you know, looking for an employee just like her? But if you don't let her go through that negative cycle through it, she will get stuck there.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, how do I then help her get to the positive side without sounding like, oh, you know, Mom, I know you want me to do that. You know, you just, the reactiveness. How do I help her cycle through to the positive without being the one who's
pushing? Well, what's at the core of all of these decisions we're talking about?
Independent.
I think
independence. I heard somebody else. What else?
Getting them to see, you know, like to understand kind of what the decision will entail, like what will be the results of it, and to be comfortable with that.
So for them to understand sort of the context of the decision and the impact of it and feel comfortable with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their decision, right? And it's funny because Maya and I have been talking about this week. That doesn't mean it's always all their decision. But we want them to become, you know, when they're younger, at 14, 15, you want them to become part of a decision-making process, because at 19 and 20, it is their decision. So we want them to be making mindful decisions, right? Thoughtful decisions. What comes up to anybody is what's essential for them to be able to make a good decision.
This isn't
a trick question. It's not like I have an answer in mind.
I would just say understanding, kind of. At least in my situation, I don't think that my son kind of does see pros and cons. I think he only has his mind made up to stay where he is, and he doesn't like change, you know. And I don't think he, totally understands kind of what is at stake for him.
So he's got to be willing. He's got to be willing to be part of the process. He's got to be willing to be part, to be looking at the issue from a, you know, sort of critical or objective or thoughtful perspective. In order to make a good decision, they have to have some information, and they have to be open to the information. They have to be willing to look, right? That's what I think I'm hearing you say.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm still struggling with is, I think he's, you know, understanding some of it. He's open to some of it, but I think that, you know, this is a decision that I'm trying it for half a year. I thought was like a really good middle ground, and that my husband and I can say, you know, we thought about all this, and I know that you realize now that it actually, you know, will be beneficial to you, and can you try it for half a year? I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. What are you asking?
I guess, you know, I'm still kind of, if I still don't have his buy-in, if I can just go ahead and say, you know, we're going to try it for half a year. That's what we've decided. We've given it a lot of thought. And, you know, it's just how we're going to do it.
So I can't tell if you're asking if that's okay. I mean, are you processing, should I do this or not?
Yes, yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, how to phrase it. If I can, I think it's okay, you know, because I think that he has been involved in a lot of it. And I think it's okay for us, for parents, you know, when he's 15, to say, try it for half a year. If you don't like it, you can go back, you know. I think it's okay at this point.
So what you're speaking to is, and I don't disagree with you, but is, you know, where do we draw the line and make the decision, and where do we empower them to become part of their decision-making process? And you're at a place now where you've involved him in the process a lot, because in a few years, he's going to be the one making these calls. It's not going to be up to you, right?
Right, right.
So you've done a really good job of engaging him and having these conversations with him and bringing him into the process. And the goal here is to teach him how to become part of a decision-making process. You know, we talk a lot about the process versus the outcome, right? And this is a good example of, at the end of the day, you still have a decision that has to be made. There's no question. And what we want him to get from it is a sense that he was part of the process, that you brought him in and he felt seen and heard and considered and acknowledged and participating in this process. And so a big change happened from yesterday to today, Maya, where he went from a knee-jerk reaction to, huh, wow, I listened, I talked, I had some other thoughts about it. There's more to consider, right?
Right.
And so the question that jumps out at me is, you know, do you ask permission? When do you ask permission, and when do you sort of make the call? Right, and I think everybody on this phone has dealt with this issue. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Vilma, at some point, is this? Are you waiting for her to say, yes, I want to do this and I'm going to get activated? Or do you know that the decision is she has to get a job because it's time for her to start making money and contributing? And is that the decision there? And then it becomes, how do I help her get activated to do it because it's time for her to do this? And is this still, is it, at what point do you step past, say it again?
It's the latter. It's the activating her. Yeah, helping her to activate herself.
Right.
I mean, I know she wants to. It's just
right.
She's stuck in all the emotions of it, the fear of actually doing it.
Right. Right. And so sometimes the awareness may not be about details, but it may be about that, is helping her see that. The research shows that we make decisions based on emotion. And then we justify our decisions by collecting the facts to support the emotional decision we made. Right? Is that everybody with me?
Mm-hmm. I think that's true a lot.
But sometimes, when you do the pros and cons and you kind of wait, like, you take like a week or something or whatever. We've taken a few days. Maybe we've taken a week. Then I think you kind of take the emotion out of it and you kind of consider everything logically. That's what I like to think I do. And, then it's not so emotional.
Okay, but I want to challenge you because I want you to understand that decisions are actually made on emotions and then we justify them with facts. That is what any neurologist, any neuropsychologist, that is what they will tell you. We think we make decisions based on facts, but we don't actually. We use facts to support our inclination.
Even if we think about something for 2 or 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the research says. I don't know. I don't know how it shifts when we become conscious of the process. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think we become conscious of the process. We don't necessarily become any more logical, but with like feeling it out. And then still in the emotional realm, you know.
Okay, that's true.
We're able to make better decisions the more conscious we are of the process. Our job as parents is to help our kids understand the process.
Yes.
That they're in and bring them into it again and again and again so that they get practice.
Yeah.
So I want to sort of begin to wind up and look at the final four questions. And this has sort of been an interesting theoretical conversation, which sort of makes sense given the issues that everybody's bringing. As you think about what you were focusing on today, what are you taking away? And is there something clear that's coming from it? Is there something you want to make sure that you mention in the conversation you want to have? Or is there something about the timing of the conversation or the framework or who's part of it? Like, what's becoming clear?
Well, I just wanted to be clear with what you said. So saying, since we've, thought about this, and I wouldn't do it today. I'd wait probably another day or so. We looked at all this, you listened to the conversations, and then say, we're going to try and give this half a year because we think that's fair and we think that's, what responsible parents do, and it's because we care about you. And then just, like you said, just finally set that limit. Like, instead of, what do you think? Because you can't, But you agreed with me that I can finally say this, right? Set the limit.
CC is looking for permission. You know, at yeah. some point, as I mean, you are responsible for this kid's education, and he is 15 yeah. years old. So do you as the parent have the authority to make these decisions? Absolutely. And I will acknowledge and say you have done a great deal to bring him into the process.
Thank you.
Does that mean if you make this decision that he's going to love that and agree with you and jump up and down and say, okay, yeah, Mom, I'm there? Maybe not.
Uh-uh.
And you may end up with something else, another issue you have to deal with that has to do with, you know, getting his buy-in or his participation.
But once you make that decision,
that's
it.
You have done a great
it.
Deal to bring him into the process.
Right.
Once what?
So once you make that decision,
I mean,
though, that's
what's really important. You have to be clear on whose decision it is, right? And what the mm-hmm. parameters are. Like, this is a kid, we know he needs executive function support. It's going to happen here or there, but it's going to happen. And not happening is not an option, for example. Pam, I'm curious what's coming up for you, because I know you've dealt with a lot of these issues over the last couple of years. Curious what you're thinking or what you
yeah.
what you think about the situation. Say it again.
I'm just trying to form my thoughts into coherent words. you know, you can absolutely make the decision, but the extent to which they're involved in the decision and feel they own it will determine, you know, how successful and how engaged they'll be. So it's kind of, mm-hmm. I think about it, it's not so much about, you know, I mean, yes, absolutely, it's that decision. Sorry, my alarm going off. I think about it as not so much about, you know, yes, I can do it, but what should I do? And, you know, having a conversation around, you know, the realities of that and bring them into the loop. And sometimes I've, you know, as I've walked on this journey with Lauren, I just, haven't appreciated exactly where she is, and until I meet her where she is, we're not actually going to move. And it doesn't matter that I can do it or even that I should do it. If I want her to be achieving the most out of this, then I have no alternative but to meet her where she is. So the problem is they get stuck, and as I'm thinking about this conversation, I've been thinking of this story about my daughter the other night, you know, this week, getting lost. And it's such an analogy for where I've been, where, you know, we kind of knew where she was because I could see the blip on Google Maps. And, you know, she knew where she needed to get to in terms of what the place looked
mm-hmm.
like, but she had no idea of where to actually get there. So we both knew she needed to be in her boat safe, and we knew where she was, but we had no idea of how to get from A to B. And I've been thinking it's such a good analogy, and finding that way to get her on the path. And then when, you know...
But she had to want to get on the path.
Well, she did. In this situation, she wanted to get on the path because, you know, we both agreed
mm-hmm.
where she needed to be, but how to get there was the question. So maybe sort of finding a way...
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do we need to be, and then how do we get there? And as I look back with hindsight on the journey with Lauren, you know, there were so many times that I just assumed that she knew where she needed to be. And most of the time she was so totally stuck and lost, and I just didn't see that. And I just kept, come on, let's go, let's go. And it was kind of like she was stuck and I didn't see it. And I only now with hindsight I understand. Just needed to be where she was. And that's really hard when we can see the big picture and the deadlines and the urgency. So, yes, you
mm-hmm.
can actually do it and make the decision. But, you know, their engagement and involvement will make things so much smoother, as hard as that actually is to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's a phenomenal analogy. really powerful. And,
yeah.
you know, when I think about the scenario
totally.
You're in, Maya, you spent some time a couple of nights ago helping him see what the reports said about his learning and his brain and his executive function. And that's about helping him see where he needs to go, right? That was about setting the stage for him to understand not just where he is now, but where he's trying to get to. So it does happen in lots of different ways, as Pam points out. It's
right.
not a straight line.
Yeah. So there's no easy answer
here. By example, we needed literally needed the next step, because, you know, where she needed to go was a place that neither of us knew where that actually was. So it forced me to, how do I get her from where she is right now on the right path? So what's that next
mm-hmm.
step that he actually needs? And you kind of have to put away the end result to get to that next step, and that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, if I may add there, I think that's where the emotions
mm-hmm.
come in. It's what you said was that
the moderator has left the conference.
Hear me?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it said,
hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Away.
I did. It dropped me off the call.
Yeah, it said the moderator has left the call.
I'm confident that you guys did a great job finishing it.
Well, no. We couldn't talk at all. It was just, there was nothing. Well, we waited.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry. So, Vilma, you were saying, and then I got lost. So, say again. I'm sorry. Vilma, are you there? Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear you. I guess maybe she left.
No, she's still, it looks like she's still here, but she may have left. So, all right, so let's close the conversation for today, and I'm really sorry for the technical difficulty. Yeah, she did step off. But so what are your ahas or your commitments from here, everybody?
Well, I guess my aha is that I'm, you know, I have to stop trying to convince so much. But I think a realistic action step for me to take is just maybe wait a day or just say something today about, I guess I have an aha is to help him see where he needs to go a little bit more. I could do that for another day or two, and then next week just kind of see where the conversation goes.
Mhm. I think it's wise to pace yourself. Waiting has, you know, allowing it to unfold has been really helpful for you in this process. And I would encourage you, if you're going to start by just asking him, you know, just to let him know, we're not going to make any decisions quite yet. I just think it's really good for all of us to keep thinking about this for a few days. But I am curious what you were thinking today after the conversation last night. But you can tell me about it anytime you want. and then let it go. But so set the expectation clearly that you're not making a decision yet, so that you invite more conversation.
Okay. And then just say, you don't have to tell me now. You can tell me whenever you're ready.
Yeah, or do you want to talk about it now? I mean, keep it open. Like, treat them like a peer in this. It's like we're learning and conversing and talking about it, and right now we're just exploring information. We're not making any decisions. So get curious about where he is and what he's learning from it.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? What are you taking away?
I'm looking forward
Pam,
to seeing my daughter.
You're still here?
Yeah. I'm looking forward
awesome.
To seeing Lauren speak, and then, just waiting a bit and then saying, so let's talk about the other night. What was it like for you?
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Yeah. Great.
Without kind of jumping straight away to making her read an article about all the people that have been murdered leaving places in the middle of the night.
Right? I love that. That's great. Well, and then what jumps out at me is because Maya, you said something to me the other day about you've got an analytical mind and you do all the research and you collect all the information. And not everybody thinks the way that you do. And Pam, you're like that too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's how you make decisions, but not everybody does. Right. So you do have to sort of understand what information do they need, not what information would you need.
Yeah, I think my son he's very emotional. He is definitely not analytical. So,
right.
Yeah.
So he needed anecdotes.
And I think he needed to hear from, like, his friend or his friend's mother that he trusted, because sometimes he thinks, oh, you talked to that person and you told them what to say, and this is like we just called up,
Yeah.
So he thinks I'm trying to trick him sometimes. I think
exactly.
Maybe he needed to, like, hear the anecdotes, like you said, and kind of, like, visualize it, because I think he's so afraid to even think about going there. There's, like, that anxiety that you were talking about when you make that decision, and then you're not where you are and what you're used to, and,
I think also
Did I get dropped off again?
No, you're still here. My daughter sees right through me, and she will, she'll think that if I'm trying to get her to go in a path, she's incredibly perceptive, and she'll see that. And she'll think I'm trying to manipulate her, and she'll fight every step of the way. So I have to actively, work really hard for her, not to feel that way. And the only way I can do that, because she's so perceptive, is actually be completely, hand over the reins to her and step back into an advisory position. And that's really hard when there's deadlines and other things to do.
Yeah, it is really, really hard.
If you do try and push, they will know you are pushing. And the only way for them not to feel like you're pushing is actually not to push. Which sounds so simple,
words
right?
Words of wisdom.
And I think you said this to me once, Elaine, when I was, trying to get her to go to school and do stuff. And, I said, she sees right through me. And you said, well, here's the thing. How about you do let go or something like that? And I was thinking, oh, my God, how do I do that? And I eventually found a way. I had to actually let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is not easy to do.
No.
It's really not easy.
But it's only when I let go and handed the reins to her to support her, and she started to pick them up. It was only then that I realized how ineffectual and, in fact, I can't think of the right word, but I was actually making things worse by pushing.
Counterproductive. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was counterproductive, yep. Everything I was actually doing, and I couldn't see that until I stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But having a conversation isn't like really pushing. If you keep saying like, what do you think and what are you learning, and right?
Well,
if you're really open.
That's right. I mean, if you are genuinely open and say, you know, what do you think about this? But if you've got in your mind, I'm having a conversation because at the end of it, I actually want a decision by tomorrow. So I'll perceive that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
They see right through you. At least my daughter sees right through me. So the only
yeah,
way...
they are authenticity magnets.
Absolutely.
And if you are pretending to be giving them space, but you're not really, they will know.
Exactly. And I was also assuming that I needed her to know the importance of this. Because to be a good parent,
yes,
that's what I should do.
Right.
But what I didn't appreciate is that she absolutely knew. She knew all of these things, and I wasn't giving her credit for that. And I had to step back. I might have posted something on the Facebook community a little while ago about this. I had to appreciate that over all the years, she had actually absorbed all of this, and she knew this. And I had to trust that she knew it and actually step back into a supporting level and take all the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I have to
allow her to make the decisions. And you allowed
correct.
Her to start making the thoughts and decisions based on what was important to her, not what was important to you.
That's exactly right.
And that's probably the hardest part, is you wanted her to understand from the way that you look at the world. And she actually needs to come to that understanding from the way that she looks at the world.
Yeah. And this analogy really hit me today, is she was, you know, she's actually lost. She didn't know how to get.
Mm-hmm.
She was lost. She knew where she wanted to go, but she had no idea how to get there. And I had no idea how to get her there either.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's scary.
But together, you were able to figure it out.
Together, we figured it out.
And that is a perfect metaphor for this whole process.
Yeah. And I also knew that if I, at one point in the conversation, I said to her, I'm really worried about you. And then she said, oh, Mum, you don't need to be. And I could hear a voice quavering a bit. And I thought, okay, I need to just step back and I need to be completely calm. I'm worried. I have to be calm. And I can't show my, and, you know, so, and the only way, and this is, I don't know how, what the answer is to this situation. And what I did with Lauren last year, when I thought she was going to drop out of school and she was never going to school and all this, I had to rationalize with myself that she might actually not finish school and she may not be able to go and do these things. And I have to trust that, you know, life will go on and there will be another way. It may not be the path that I wanted for her, and it's a harder one, but there is nothing I am doing that is helping the situation, and all I can do is let go and let it be what it will be and put the support around her ready for when she reaches out for it, if she chooses to do that. And it was only when I took the pressure off and, you know, and if she didn't want to go to school, I'd say, okay, that's fine, I'll let school know. And only then, when I stopped pressuring, did she actually eventually raise her head up and reach out for the help that was around her.
Because it was no longer your agenda, it became hers.
Exactly. But what I didn't appreciate is how much she actually wanted what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we overplayed how much.
I have to be
Sorry.
Just open to, you know, I guess I just have to be open to his agenda then, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and.
Yes, and, yeah. And what's the worst that can happen if he doesn't make a decision in time? What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, well, we have to make a decision
It's a somewhat different scenario, and he's a lot younger as well. So it is a somewhat different situation. You know, and so what I think that you started the process, Maya, by really bringing him into the process and into the conversation and letting him know he's had a sense and a voice. And, you know, it's not about, as we talked about yesterday, it's not about abdicating. It's about making sure full information is out there. And but what Pam is saying is, if you ended up making the decision to send him back to the public high school and making the best of it, then that's the path that he's on, right? And and you know, he's going to be on his path, and it may not go the direction you wanted or hoped or anything. And at the end of the day, he's on his journey, and our job is to support him on his journey. And that's a hard place to be, and it requires, you know, swallowing some things sometimes, but it's an important place to be.
Okay.
So, and I need to call because we are 20 minutes past, and I know we had some technical difficulties, but I need to close for now. And thank you both for the conversation, and Pam, thank you so your wisdom today was a particularly essential component, like taking what you've learned and figuring out how to apply it. It was really, really helpful. And I'll talk to you both soon. Be well. Take care, guys.
Yes, it was very helpful. Thanks. Bye.
Good luck, Maya.
Good.